Shay, correct me if I'm wrong. You always do. I think a lot of designers feel very confident in their discovery call. And I think that where they deserve that confidence, many designers are really great at talking about design, at getting a client excited, at getting a client bought in creatively. Where I think many designers leave a lot to be desired on the discovery call is using it as a sales tool, as a sales process. And I think that when we see a really strong designer with a really strong, consistent close rate, the discovery call balances both very nicely, talking about design and process and getting a client excited and leading them to a very specific point of sale. Would you agree?
Yeah. I think the discovery call has a specific structure. Of course, it's always should be pointing towards a sale of some kind. And you need to be clear in your process and you need to be clear in your services, which is what makes it all harmonious to arrive at a high close rate or a high level understanding if they're just not a good fit. Depends on where you're at in your growth marker. So one thing I just want to say in terms of sales and services and having that flexibility is you may just not be there yet. This is kind of like depends on your growth path, where you are in business. You might be someone who exclusively takes full service because you couldn't imagine having smaller, lower levels of services flushing through because you just don't have the support systems where you could offload and have someone else operate all those lower levels. So I'm going to take this with the approach that we do have a big range in terms of flexibility of services. And if that's not you and that's not where you're at, you're going to follow the same structure of this call, but this is going to be a process of elimination call. It's either a good fit or it's not a good fit based off of your education. The goal is to have these clear services, clear systems where we can make money off of other people on our team executing the lower level of service, ideally.
And let's talk about really quickly why. Why would I want to differentiate? Why would I want to have a lower level of service? I'm a luxury business. I want to have a high-end client. I want to showcase my services in that way. Why am I offering a lower tier?
Yeah. If we're at that point and we're investing high level in marketing dollars and lead gen or advertising to bring in lead gen, I want to have an extremely high closing rate to ensure that I am always capitalizing on the cost of that lead. So even if that sale is $3,000 or less, my pricing model and sale of service is controlled to know that I'm making $95 an hour off of every single hour that's going to support this really low level of service, this $3,000 job. I'm going to profit $2,200 off of it. I'm not going to really touch anything about it. Or maybe you just deliver the end result and it takes 1 to 2 hours of your time. That is why we want to have flexibility in our services, have tight and controlled processes and systems and clarified services to sell and kind of adapt your discovery towards, right? Even if you're at this point, there's only two pathways you're selling. If you're not at this point, there's only one pathway that you're realistically selling on this call. Okay, so let's talk about discovery call framework. Hopefully, you have a questionnaire, a basic one that they have filled out prior to this call.
Low obstacle. We're not talking about something that's going to take them 20 minutes of their time that acts as a barrier to them getting to your discovery call. But you do need a little bit of information to make this 20, some of you are offering 30 minutes, actionable and valuable.
Yeah. And also allows you to do a little pre-discovery homework. They should be giving you address. You're always seeding and asking for budget right from the jump. Hopefully your questionnaire doesn't make it like a negotiable field to fill in. It's a required field. So you can at least start to get an understanding of where their thought process is at. If you have a diversity of services and level of sales, that really is an important piece of information to know to swing your discovery call conversation and rough scope. So with the address, little pre-information I like to do, especially when I'm trying to support someone in their discovery call process, is look up the address. I want to know the valuation of the home and I want to know comps in the area, the surrounding homes. What does that value look at? especially if they're coming in for a renovation intake, because I want to kind of understand the reach that we have in investing in this home and allow investment conversation and return language to enter that conversation. This investment that you're going to have on this project, we want to evaluate it to also profit you and return back to you at the end of it. Okay, so pre-investigation happens, so we're a little educated. First call is always that natural, hey, summary of the call, right? We want to use this as an opportunity to really use this as a meet and greet, see if we are a good fit to work together with the firm and get a clear understanding of the scope. We're then going to educate you on our process, what it feels like to work together and all the phases of those projects, and then you're going to sell them. You're either going to sell them straight to your intake process and educate them on that, or you're going to sell them straight to a lower level of service, which we'll talk about if you do have that diversity of sale going on, and educate them on what that looks like. In a very rare instance, if you're really selling all these services, someone might fall in the middle and you might have to educate them on what that differential looks like. And I might explain that a little bit later once we go through the framework. We'll go through some of these scenarios, I think, to the close. So that's that framework of the call. I don't think anyone needs to reiterate. I mean, we can like do this mock call where Evelyn can like be that intake, but I think there are a variety of different scopes and scenarios I want to go through. So reality is we can probably bypass chatting it up. Hey,
the meet and greet.
My name is Shayna. Welcome to the firm. We're giving the summary. I see on your intake, you're looking for some support in these spaces, this budget, this is the address. Like, go ahead and elaborate a little bit more in detail of what you're looking for. You ask your questions, right? Do you have a contractor, right? How far along in the process are you? All the typicals we kind of go through.
Yeah. Shay, what do you think about this? When I was taking discovery calls for clients, when I would, you know, reiterate that form and get to the budget question, I would always take a moment to just clarify, like, is this your all-in number? Just seed in that difference between their budget to the project versus design fees and make sure that this is the number that we're trying to meet up top.
Yeah, I think this is helpful. Other good questions, have you worked with a designer in the past? Have you already started to develop the design and get involved? So you can have an understanding of how far along they are or the level of involvement you think this client is going to take, what degree of support they need, how experienced are they in the process, what's their timeline, at what point are they looking to complete the project. All those little things that we need when we're going to price the job, you're starting to collect that. And Ev, yeah, that was a good one. Definitely budget. You need to know if that's their all in. Is that what they're looking to just invest in design fees? If it's kind of like a question mark to you.
And again, you guys, this is mostly where you guys are shining. That's why we're breezing past it and getting to what we feel is where many people are lagging just a little bit, which is now turning this into a true sales conversation.
Yeah. And we'll get to some of the common rebuttals. Clients ask a lot of questions through this call too, especially money related questions. How do we overturn those? How should we be educated? Usually they don't come until the end of the call when you're inviting it. Sometimes they happen in the beginning when you're starting to ask questions, depending on who that client is. They just start firing back those end of call questions at the beginning because they're eager. So I guess we can hit the client questions, right? If that starts happening in the beginning as well. What I say about money-related questions, or almost all questions, point to that is why we do an intake process, so that we have the necessary time to really answer these questions you have accurately. When the money-related questions come up, you want to have some loose understanding of your boundaries. My minimums start at this amount, or typically a three-bedroom, right? Like some historical data, pull some examples of other projects. When you're educating about the money, if you're explicitly just selling full service, then it is what it is. The price is the price. They either fall inside the lines or they don't. If you're doing that flexibility of sale and you're doing that kind of historical apples to apples comparison, just make sure if you're showcasing a full service number, you're saying, remember, you know, this is our highest level of service. We do have alternative ways of working together. So this is only overturning questions in the beginning. Hopefully they let you do your shtick and they ask their questions at the end. So not the end of the world, but they always kind of swing your call when they're really question heavy in the beginning. So meet and greet, understand the scope, ask those necessary questions on your side to understand where they're at in the process and what they really need.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're like, great, let me just educate you on our process and what it feels like if we're going to work together. Everything starts with an intake process inclusive of a two-part consultation. And in that time set, it allows us to really get a grasp on the budget, really gain an understanding on the scope, the trades that are involved, your level of involvement, all the things. Following that intake, then we get going with that conceptual phase. First phase of that project is focused on collecting all of the itty-bitty details we couldn't collect in a two-part meeting, which is integrating all the outside trades that are involved, really locking down the full layout, whether you're renovating and you're changing walls, or you're doing furnishings and you're doing furnishing plans, like everything you showed them is estimated and suggested. And in that first phase, we're really locking that in together. We'll also make sure we'll get on the same page for the color, the finish, the style, all of it. So at the end of that phase, we're looking at the total big picture of the budget, inclusive of all trades. We're looking at a finalized shopping list. In the intake process, I showed you a suggested list. Now we're looking at a finalized list based off of drawings and placements that you are agreeing to. And some of these looser ideas that I threw out at you in terms of let's put wall coverings on this wall, or let's do a library built-in millwork section. Well, how much is that going to cost? All of these ideas have been developed, showcased to you, pricing has been collected, and we are solidifying the game plan. Then after that, we'll walk into phase two. That's where we'll start really building the design together. I'll start sourcing all the elements, ordering all the necessary samples, rendering if we're putting that into the designer. Sometimes that rendering is in the concept phase, so that's a loose one there. Putting together the digital presentation boards. I will be presenting the design to you likely in sections of the home. And naturally, you'll have feedback. You'll want some iterations of it based off of your feedback. It's only natural, you're human. I'll edit based off that feedback and return the design back to you. Following that process, we kind of enter in that final phase three where we're buttoning everything up for the contractor. We're also placing all of your orders, managing and installing. And again, if you are selling flexibility of services inside of that, you could say that is our full service workflow. And we could work together in alternative ways if you don't need the purchasing, if you don't need us to hire the contractor, you really just need us to set the direction. And again, that's the purpose of the intake. So you'll educate them through process. And then when you get to the end of the process, you just swing it to say, I usually say the same thing every time. Realistically, like I said again, everyone starts at that intake process. And now you whip in the money and the close. That intake process is only a $475 intake or whatever, $700 intake, whatever you're selling it at. And we're selling it off of value. As a reminder, that $700 one-time intake is inclusive of that two-part consult. The first part is design focus. I'm going to come to the home or you're going to review the drawing set and I'm going to share all of my ideas. We're not going to be scared to sell. We're not going to be scared to overshare ideas. Yes. Someone can take your ideas and run with them. That is not why they're calling you. They could do it on their own. They wouldn't be just paying an intake to take your ideas. So sell, sell, sell. Get them excited. Share all these ideas. Then I'm going to go back to the office and get it all organized. And our second part call is going to be logistics based. I'm going to have a suggested furnishing budget outlined for you with a material list that we need. I'm going to have some allowances listed that are completely in your control, but it helps us get an idea of what's going on. And then we're going to work through all of the full service delivery that I have put in there for you and make sure that all of the deliverables I put inside of that process are in fact something that you want. Big ones being renderings are usually a high level item for negotiation or really refining the trade management, especially if they already have a contractor, whatever the case may be, that project management tail end side. And that's that second part call. After that call, we have a clarified strategy and they might ask you questions on how you collect money. So of course, you could always educate them on the retainer. After that intake, on that second part call, I'm going to present you an estimated design fee range. I know what it's going to take to operate your scope at a minimum, but I also want to give you some room to be a human and allow other people to be human so that there's no surprise billing. And inside of that agreement, I agree that I am not going to exceed the higher range. If you're selling the way we're advocating, I'm not going to exceed that high range of this kind of flat fee, design fee range that I'm providing you. It is my job to notify you of concerns and control to stay inside the lines. We will track hourly against that retainer. You bill hourly, explain that in either two different buckets or one bucket. And how we keep you in control is by reporting to you a summary, whatever that looks like, monthly, at the end of a phase, biweekly, weekly, right? As you're developing those systems, you clarify what your notification process is to your client. All make sense? Any questions? And then what's that next step? How does it work? Are you going to send them a follow-up that they can click pay and schedule? Are you closing them on the phone? You want to jump on the schedule right now? It's always great if you can get that decision right away. A lot of people are calling and have a spouse, so we want to make sure there's follow-up information. People are always thrilled when you're like, hey, right after this call, everything we just talked about, you're going to get a follow-up deliverable. And they're like, oh, great, because I want to talk to my husband about it tonight, or whatever the case may be. You don't want someone to sell for you, ever. That's why if you listen to the closing call podcast we did, it's like, make sure both decision makers are on the call, because you're just trusting someone now who heard your pitch one time to go sell it to their partner. That sucks. You don't want that. Make sure you're giving them the tools to go sell to the partner, education on what's included in that intake, the value of it. We should be charging for it. It's very valuable.
Yeah, because it is a differentiator. A lot of designers are doing a consult. Not a lot of designers are doing a two-part intake that gives them all that budget information, that estimated furnishings list. Like, that is a huge step forward in their project before they've signed the contract, and that is a differentiator. And so really leaning on that is a strength of sale, because let's say they are having multiple discovery calls. Many of these people are. The internet is at their fingertips. They could find every designer in your area if they wanted to. And that is a huge differentiator right there from the first point of sale, even before you've gotten into your process and how much you've thought about that and all of the value there. So you want to lean into that.
Yeah. A big one I use is like, we don't want any surprise billing. When they're calling, I'm like, I don't want to be the firm that shocks you when a bill comes or surprises you that it's going to cost more money. And a lot of flat fee designers, that's what it is, right? Because there are so many unexpected variables in this project. You might need a little bit more or a little higher level visual in that conceptual phase, or your contractor might need more support than we are estimating to provide them. Or we picked a tile from overseas and managing that Italy vendor, and it's stuck on a container, and a higher level follow-up for tracking the shipping container that's stuck in the middle of the ocean is taking a little bit more time than we expected. It's the same thing as a renovation. The contractor comes in, you want to renovate your kitchen, he's going to give you a price, you're knocking down or opening up a wall to do something, he's going to have a contingency. I don't know what's in that wall. What if there's asbestos in that wall? You've got to agree with me that this is the base price, but you are willing to spend up to this amount that it could cost for the unforeseen. And that's the differentiator between us and a different firm, is our intake process is the strategy map that also outlines and ensures it's a good match, that you like my ideas, we're on the same page for style and just very, very, very general direction. Some people put together a very preliminary mood board that they'll then put more time into when the project proceeds. And then the logistics. Half of your job, and this is another zinger you can use on your discovery call that I keep saying to everyone, another zingy zingy. Half my job is to design a beautiful space for you. And all of you guys listening out there can succeed at this. But the other half of the job, which you may or may not want, is managing the money for them. If you think back on every negative instance you had with a client, I would bet a ton of money on it that it all points back to money in some way or another. The client's reaction and their emotions is always tied to the money.
Mm-hmm.
And that just means we didn't clarify the expectations with them. That's what the billing, selling a design fee range is, to protect you and to protect them if we do it correctly and follow the processes and commit to the systems. But that's what it's all about. So value, don't get scared of the money on the discovery call. You're pitching to the value of the intake, why it serves them to get on the same page and spend the necessary time and due diligence to make sure we're on the same page for the design and we're on the same page for the money, because they are equally your job And that's what we're going to look at in terms of money on that second call. And then throughout the entirety of the project, it is my job to continue to realign that budget and money and to also give you that beautiful space that you're looking for. And then always end with that all makes sense, any questions, etc.
And super, super clarity around those next steps. How can they expect to get scheduled with you? I'll be sending you a link versus someone from my team will be calling you within X number of hours. Clarity every time that a client feels to themselves like, what next? Or am I supposed to email her? Or you are letting them a little bit off your hook. So the clarity around next steps is hugely important. And if you don't know how you're closing those consistently, how you're sending out that payment link, that is definitely the next exercise to do so that you can do that really confidently.
So happy discovery calls, lovelies out there.
Yep. Remember, two jobs. Yes, you are getting them excited about the design. You are probably already great at that. And you are using this as a true sales tool, what they can expect, how that process is going to run, and how they give you their money, because they are calling you because ultimately they want these services. So you've got to make it easy for them to get them.
100%. So let's review. The discovery call has two jobs and most designers are only doing one of them. Getting a client excited about the design, yes, you are probably already doing great at that. But using this call as a true sales tool with a clear structure, a clear pitch, a clear close, that is where the real work is. A pre-investigation before the call, a questionnaire that requires a budget, a meet and greet that leads to a process walkthrough that leads to a sale every single time.
And here's the part that changes everything. Your intake process is a differentiator. Not just a consult, it's a two-part process that gives your client a suggested furnishings budget, a material list, and a strategy map before they've even signed your contract. That's what sets you apart from every other designer out there that they could just find on the internet. So lean into that, sell the value of it, and remember, the money conversation is not the problem. Avoiding it is.
So here's your action item as soon as this episode ends. Pull up your last three discovery calls and ask yourself honestly, did I have a clear structure? Did I walk them through my process with confidence? Did I close with crystal clear next steps? If the answer to any of these is no, that is where you start. So write out your framework, practice your pitch on the intake, get clear on how you are collecting money and what happens immediately after the call. Because the moment a client feels like they don't know what comes next, you are losing them.
And if you're sitting there listening and thinking, I know my process needs work, but I don't even know where to begin with tightening it up. That's exactly the kind of thing we work through with our clients. We'll help you clarify your services, structure your sales process, and build the systems that make every single discovery call feel confident and controlled. So schedule a free call with us at fordesignerbusiness.com or click the link in the show notes.
If you found value in today's episode, please help us reach more designers just like you by taking a moment to rate, review, and subscribe to the show wherever you're listening. New episodes drop every Tuesday, so be sure to subscribe so you never miss one. And be sure to send us your anonymous voicemails at fordesignerbusiness.com. Maybe your close rate is all over the place and you cannot figure out why. Maybe you dread the money conversation every single time. Whatever it is, send it in and you just might get free coaching on a future episode.
Your design skills are what got you this far. It's your sales skills that are going to be what takes you to the next level. Remember, you have two jobs on this one discovery call, and now you have everything you need to start closing. Until next time, keep designing and keep dreaming.
Let's get it, babes.